Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us for part two of my two-part interview with David Stone. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's interview, you need to go back and catch up, because although we will rewind just a couple of minutes just for the continuity of the program, we cover so much vital information that is dealing with such a time as this, that deals with anxiety and fear and worries in this life. Now, David, you know, he's the co-founder of i-fearless.com. He's the author of the book Unsubscribe from Anxiety, Opt Out of the Myth That Worry is Required and Take Charge of Your Own Life Now. What a book. If you don't have your copy yet, go down the show notes, click it, buy it, because you need this book and this information for right now. You know, David got fed up with all the fear and all the anxiety, all the self-doubt that was getting in the way of his life. So he set out to find a better way. Now he shares that information with the world. And we're going to jump right back into part two of this interview now with David Stone.
So it's very easy to look at circumstances outside ourselves and point and blame them and complain. But as soon as we do that, we give away all our power to change anything and to change our lives. Because as long as it's somebody else's responsibility, as long as somebody else is responsible for your suffering, unless and until they decide to make a change, you're powerless.
Yeah.
Until they decide, oh, okay, you don't like the fact that I, made it rain on your picnic. Until they change their mind, then your picnic, you're going to whine about the fact that your picnic got ruined. So we have to take responsibility. We may not be able to change the circumstances, but I can change how I respond to those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's amazing, perhaps you're familiar with Viktor Frankl. He was a psychologist, a psychiatrist in 1930s in Austria, and he was Jewish. And like so many of his faith, he got rounded up and arrested by the Nazis and put in a concentration camp. And I mean, just the most horrible, horrendous conditions that we can possibly imagine makes coronavirus seem like a walk in the park. Mm-hmm. But what he discovered is he said he realized that the people around him who had hope, who had purpose, who had things to live for, were the ones that survived. And yeah, the ones that blamed and said, oh, you know, I'm powerless, they were the ones that did not survive. And he wrote an amazing book, and it's called Man's Search for Meaning. He survived the war, and he came out and went on to do some amazing work. But basically, he said, no matter what's going on around you, you always have the choice of how you respond to that. You can always choose your thoughts. They may have chained you to a wall, but they cannot control what you think. And this is a hard one to do. But as soon as we decide that we're going to be responsible for our response to the conditions, we're going to be responsible for our attitudes and our actions to the degree that we're able to act in a certain situation, then we begin to take control.
Okay.
But as long as we're blaming and complaining, then we have no power to change anything. And that's the very, very first step.
Okay. What's the next step?
The next step is to raise our awareness. And by that, I want to say, okay, I want to start paying attention to the things that I'm worrying about. And I do it in a kind of detached third-party way. You know how we can always sort of be an observer of our own thoughts, and it's hard to say, you know, exactly who it is that's doing the observing, but it almost doesn't matter. You know, I said to myself the other day, or I caught myself thinking such and such. So there is this third-party observer that we can count on. And so I want to start studying and finding and noticing when I'm worrying about things. And the it's hard to monitor your thoughts 24 hours a day, but you can do that by monitoring your moods and your emotions. So if I start to feel down, if I start to feel a little depressed, I say, oh, there I go. I'm, you know, what am I worrying about right now? What am I, what's bothering me? And if I can be a little objective and detached, I can say, oh, here I am. I'm worrying about my job again. I'm worrying about my finances again. I'm worried about, you know, that mole on my arm, is that going to turn into something? So these are examples of, or I'm worried, you know, Susie didn't like my Facebook post right away. What, you know, is there something wrong? Now I feel bad. Oh, okay. There I am worrying again. So we don't, and we don't judge it. We don't try and correct it. We simply watch.
Right.
Say, okay, here are my habits of worrying. And now I see, and here's the different categories. I find myself worrying about my health. I find myself worrying about my relationships. The number of different categories. Then what we do is, okay, I've gotten a handle on my anxieties. I know I want to let it go, and I'll tackle one of them. I am worried about my retirement. Have I got enough? Have I saved enough for my retirement? So that's my worry. All right, now we go into, and I walk people through a guided visualization, and I do it in the book and in the workshop as well. And essentially what we do is, as you're very familiar, anxiety, worry, stress, they show up in the body. And for some people, it's in their jaw. You know, we clench our jaw. Some people, their shoulders or our neck gets really tight. Some people get a headache, and some people get sore stomach. It shows up different places. But what we do is we have people sit quietly with their eyes closed, and then we imagine inside our body this anxiety as a thing, as a real thing. So let's say it's in your shoulders, and I'm now closing my eyes and I'm imagining this like iron rod, and it's in my shoulders. It makes my shoulders really stiff and tight and gives me a sore neck. Well, now I'm going to picture this iron rod there, and I'm visualizing this thing. And then once I've got a real handle on it, and this is my anxiety about my retirement, now I'm going to start looking at it, and I see this iron rod, and I think, okay, I'm going to use my imagination. I'm going to make that iron rod get bigger. And so now I stretch it, and I stretch it. Now it's going out through my shoulders, and it's all the way to the wall, both walls in the room. Okay, now I want you to shrink it. Now shrink it back to the size of your shoulders. Now shrink it so it's this tiny little rod. Now make it big again. Now make it small again. Now take it and move it around instead of in your shoulders. Move it down. And here, we're just using our imagination. Down into your left leg and watch it go down your leg and up and then down your right leg and then out through your right elbow and stuff. And so now we're moving it around. And what's happening here is we are beginning to take control of the anxiety instead of it controlling us.
Yeah, amen.
And so now I'm moving this thing around in this guided visualization, and I make it big, I make it small, and I look at it, and I think, what color is it? Is it black? Is it red? Is it yellow? Is it green? And what shape is it? What texture is it? So I'm really getting to know this thing. And now I say, okay, I've got this thing. And now I'm going to move it, and sort of the final steps of this, I move it out down my arm and into my hand, so it actually comes out of my body. Now I'm imagining holding this blob of anxiety in my hand like a baseball. And I just sort of toss it up and down a couple of times, and then I set it in my imagination, set it down on the floor beside me, and I look at it, and then I pick it back up. And then I'm holding it in my hand, and in my imagination, I take a deep breath, and I just blow on it. And it has now sort of turned into the dust ball. And it just kind of vaporizes like dust. And then we come back out of the, you know, open your eyes again. And when I do this in workshops, the look on people's faces is amazing. One lady, she says, my shoulders aren't tight anymore. And I said, well, that's because you took control of this anxiety and you decided what you wanted to do with it instead of it doing what it wants with you.
Amen.
So now we've gotten out of ourselves, and it's gone for today. but it's a habit, remember? And what happens to habit? I don't know if any of your listeners have ever tried to stop smoking. All right, today I try to stop smoking, you know, for the 20th time. And so I know that this thing's going to want to come back again. And so what I want to do, like any habit, it will go away to the degree that I replace it with a different habit. And so what are the habits that I want to replace this anxiety with? And there are three major ones and a number of smaller ones. Now, here are the three major ones. And the first one is gratitude. Because when we spend time and use our mind to think about the amazing things in our lives, think about the accomplishments that we've had, think about the wonderful things that are going on in our lives, which by far are the vast majority of circumstances. It tends to be the things we're worried about are just a minor part of our lives. When we fill our minds with that gratitude and we develop the habit, first thing in the morning when we wake up, quick, five things that you're grateful for today. And not just, I'm grateful for the sunrise or whatever, really specific things. I'm grateful for how, you know, the sheets just came out of the laundry yesterday. And it's always so much, so comfortable to climb into a bed that's just got fresh new sheets on it. I'm grateful for the fact that sitting in my refrigerator, there's a fresh batch of muffins that I made yesterday, and I'm really looking forward to having one for my breakfast. Very specific things like that. And rather than just, because otherwise it just becomes rote and we're not thinking about it. So we start training ourselves. Then we want to think about things that have happened in our lives that we're really proud of. One exercise that I really like is to say, all right, I want you to go back to before you were 18. And I want you to name quick five things that you did before you turned 18 that you were really proud of, that really gave you a sense of accomplishment and self-esteem. And so, maybe you earned a merit badge when you were in the Boy Scouts, or maybe you were on a sports team and you won a trophy, or maybe you wrote a poem and stood up in front of the class and read it. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. But you know, Bob, here's an interesting thing. It becomes, when we spend all our time worrying, those things kind of disappear and it becomes very, very difficult to think of them. Where was one woman in workshop? And we were going through this exercise, and I said, she couldn't think of a single thing before she was 18 that she had done that she thought was a good accomplishment or she was proud of.
Wow.
And I thought, how sad is that? Well, with a little coaching, she said she remembered that she had been a swimmer in high school, a competitive swimmer, and that she won a competition that she went into and won the gold medal. And again, the look on her face that came over when she remembered that thing. So we need this to become a new habit. So we do before we're 18. Then we move on to when you were in college or had your first job. And then we move on to, maybe when you were a young adult and you were just starting a family. And then we move right up to, okay, last week. What were five things that happened last week? Well, I had a really nice conversation on the phone with my brother. Or I made a dinner that was everybody really enjoyed. These are the kinds of things that we want to celebrate in our lives, because when our heads are full with anxiety, we forget all these wonderful things that are going on. So when we cultivate as an active habit this gratitude, the room that's left in our brains for anxiety gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So that's the first habit, habit number one, this attitude of gratitude. The second habit is something I call replace it with purpose. And I read somewhere, and I can't remember who said it, but it really struck me. It said the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you figure out why.
Amen.
And, with you, you've shared with me okay, now I suddenly realize what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And that changes everything. Because, if you're, if the reason you get up in the morning is to go to a job that I hate and to fight traffic that I don't like and to come home to somebody that I've long since fallen out of love with and to turn on the TV and watch drivel until it's time to go to bed and then I repeat it again tomorrow, there's nothing occupying you. And the, what do they say? Nature abhors a void. Well, your mind is a void. So whoosh, the anxiety rushes in to fill it. But if you figure out, you say, okay, here's what I'm here to do. Here's why I get up in the morning. Here's my why. Then you're so driven by that. And it, it's so keen to get on with that that project, that that purpose. Again, there's no room in your brain for anxiety. And, you know, we can think about big mission statements, you know, the Bill Gates of the world who said, my purpose is to put a computer on, you know, in every household and in the world and stuff. And wow, this is huge. Or, you know, Nelson Mandela had this huge purpose in life. It's a, that's great, but there aren't many of us that will do that. For most of us, it can be a very small why, but so meaningful. My my wife's aunt, wonderful one woman who I had the opportunity to meet a few times. She passed away when she was 98 or 99, I think. And in her older years, she knitted, and she knitted little caps and booties for the preemies in the hospitals, you know, the premature babies. And she would turn these things out by the dozens and dozens and dozens. And to look at her face when she was doing it or when she would talk about it, you realize that here's a person that is just so driven by the contribution they're making to the world. And it's a tiny little thing in the grand scheme of things. You know, is that going to solve the, you know, bring world peace or make, you know, give us a vaccine for coronavirus? No, it's not going to do any of those things. But boy, oh boy, it sure makes her day. And it did make her days. And it helped, you know, she would get notes from the nurses in the hospital thanking her. So, you know, it doesn't matter what your why is. Maybe your why is gardening. And you say, I'm, you know, I may not be, you know, doing the gardening at Versailles, but boy, oh boy, I'm going to make this garden of mine the best I possibly can.
Yeah, amen.
And so now we've got a reason to get up. And again, when our head is filled with that, there's no room in it for the worry and anxiety. Yeah. So that's the second habit that we want to replace it with. The third one is a habit that I call instant action. Now, here's how instant action works. It's 2:30 in the morning, and you can't sleep because you're lying there worrying, and it's just going around and around in your head again, just like it did last night and the night before and the night before. Well, instead of trying to pretend that you're going to somehow fall asleep, get up. Get up. Go sit down at a desk, take a piece of paper and say, all right, what is one thing that I can do in the next 15 minutes while I'm here in the middle of the night, wide awake, that can help me take one step to solving this problem that I'm worried about? So let's say you're worried about your health. I'm overweight. I'm worried about becoming diabetic or whatever. And okay, great. It's 2:30 in the morning. What is one thing you can do right now that could help solve that problem? Well, I can go online, and assuming that we all get to go out again, I can join a health club, and I can sign up for that. Or even if I'm inside, I can go on and I can take an online yoga class, or I can look up ways to improve my diet and find some healthy eating habits. And I'm going to. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to make some. I'm going to throw out all those Krispy Kremes that are in the cupboard, and I'm going to bake a batch of really healthy something. That's something I can do right now. And then I'm just going to say, all right, I've done this one thing. What can I? What's something I can? What are three things in the next 24 to 48 hours that I can do that will help me move towards a solution to this problem that I'm worried about? So it's instant action. Instead of just having this thing circle and circle and circle around you. What can I do right now? Because then we feel motivated. And now you've also, you've regained the power. You've said, no, I'm in charge here. This is part of that taking 100% responsibility. I've now said, I'm going to be the one that gets to decide how things go around here. And I'm going to start changing this habit. So those three things, number one, the gratitude habits. Number two, the replacing it with purpose. And number three, this instant action to right now, what can I do to work on this, to work against this, this challenge that I'm facing. So those are three major habits that we can use, to get out of this anxiety habit that we have. Mm-hmm. Now there's a number of other ones that we can start putting into place as well.
Well, what I want to do is hold that thought because
yeah, sure.
Almost out of time, and I want to talk about your book a little bit.
Okay, that'd be great, Bob.
Yeah, because the book I think is something that will help people right now. And I also want to bring into this your website. I mean, mm-hmm. Let's talk about your book first.
Okay,
because that contains a lot of the things we've already talked about today, right?
Absolutely. It walks you through the entire process and lots of examples, and it's got exercises and worksheets in there that you can take your own anxieties and work through them using this process.
Okay, so in your book is a worksheet, so they could get your book. They can read about what some of the things you just talked about. They can use those worksheets to help them identify areas that they can improve on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the worksheets, there are a number of exercises that we go through. Some of them are, you know, where you write down stuff. Some of them are mental exercises. But it walks three people through the exact same process that I went through to go from worried myself into homelessness into I basically live an absolutely worry-free life right now.
Amen. Amen. So what is the number one thing that you want someone to take away after reading your book?
Mostly what I want them to take away is that anxiety is a choice. Mm. You are not doomed to be worried and anxious about everything. It is, it's the title or the subtitle of the book says, this is a myth that worry and anxiety are simply a fact of life. They are not. They are mental choices that we've been making for so long that they just seem to be a fact of life. Mm. But you can step out of those. That's why the title of the book is Unsubscribe from Anxiety. It's kind of like all those, you know, the junk email that we get. No, I'm going to click unsubscribe. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good. So on your website, which is i-fearless.com, mm-hmm. you have coaching programs available on your website as well, right?
Yes, we do. There is we have an online course that is basically, it is based on the book. It's 7 modules. And it's video based, but it also includes all these worksheets, and there's a workbook that comes with it, and it walks you through this entire process with the guided visualizations, the whole thing, and it kind of structures it for you so you can take each of the steps for yourself. And I'm more than happy for anybody that takes the course. I'm more than happy to speak with them personally as well, and to help them through that.
Amen. Amen. And speaking of speaking, I know speaking functions have slowed a bit due to this virus situation. You know, I've had several canceled or postponed as well.
Yeah.
When things do open up, you are available to come out and speak to groups and conferences and things like that, right?
I love being up on the platform. I spent 25 years in my previous career speaking on platforms and speaking in front of groups. And there's nothing I love more than, you know, sharing this message with people that say, no, I'm tired of this. I really want to change my life. So if any of your listeners have a group or a company or, you know, a church congregation or anything that they want that they say, wow, we would love to hear this message, please get in touch with me. And you can get in touch with me through the website. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it. And I'd be more than happy to come out and give you that talk.
So is it like a keynote, you know, a 45-minute address, or you want to do a seminar, half day, full day? How do you do that? What do you try to do?
The answer to that question is yes, absolutely.
mine is like, okay.
Yeah, exactly, Bob. I mean, and you're a speaker, you know, and you know, it's funny because we're talking about anxiety, and one of the biggest worries and one of the biggest anxieties that most people share is speaking in front of a group, is public speaking. It's one of those huge, really common fears that everybody has. You and I, we're the weird ones who think, please put me up in front of 500 people and let me open my mouth. I'd love to. So, but, you know, if it's a 30-minute breakout session, if it's a keynote at a conference, if it's a two-hour workshop, or I can do, you know, we can do a three-day workshop. We've got all of those formats available, and of course, depending on the format, we can dive more deeply into the topic.
Amen. Where can somebody get a copy of your book? Is it available on Amazon?
It is available on Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble. It's available on Books A Million, all online, of course, and it's available. If you want the Kindle version, the ebook version, that's available through Amazon only. You can get a Kindle version. But if you want the hard copy, you can go online to anywhere that books are sold. You can.
Amen. Amen. Well, David, I appreciate your time and coming on and talking with us today. You obviously have a heart for helping people, and I do appreciate you sharing this important information with our listeners. If someone wanted to ask you a question to get more information, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me on the website. I'm not one of these people that tries to hide and say, no, I'm going to make it as hard as possible to get in touch with me. You can reach out to me through the website. There's a contact page there. I will get it personally. It's not like I've got, you know, there's 52 staff members that I'm hiding behind, and they're going to filter and decide whether your inquiry is worth it. Trust me, I'll see it and I'll respond. So you can get in touch with me directly through the website.
Amen. Amen. Folks, if there is one thing that should be plainly visible in what we, the United States, and the whole world for that matter, is experiencing right now, is an increase in anxiety. And David Stone, his training programs, his website, and his book all have one purpose, as you heard him say, to replace that anxiety and self-doubt with confidence and self-esteem, to take care of all those life challenges that need to be dealt with on a daily basis. I want to encourage you, go down the show notes and do three things. First, you have to get a copy of David's book, Unsubscribe from Anxiety. That's a given. I mean, you need to get this, but in fact, to be a blessing to someone else, someone you know, I know you know someone is having a hard time dealing with this shutdown. You know two or three people like that. So get two or three books, sow them into someone's life. I mean, they'll thank you for it. Amen. Next, you need to go down to David's website, click on the link, i-fearless.com, take a look around. And since you may have a little more free time on your hands right now because of this shutdown, sign up for an online course. Amen. Start to take control back. Get your life back to some semblance of order. David, he's got the experience and the ability to do all that online right now. So go to i-fearless.com, take a look around, and get in touch with David yourself. That's the last thing. Get in touch with David yourself. Have a question? Ask. Praise God. We do not live in the day we had to write a letter and wait 2 or 3 weeks to get a reply back. Often now, he'll reply the same day or at least the next day. And all the information you need is at the bottom of the show notes here. Just go and click those links. Get in touch with David today. David, thank you again for coming on the program, man. I do appreciate it.
Oh, Bob, I'm thrilled. As you can tell, I get excited about sharing this message, and I'm so appreciative that you're going to share it with your listeners.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For David Stone and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this.
your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.